This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hi, I'm David Cottrell, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Thrusting with his crusty jock strap.
Thrusting and grunting. I reckon he's a definite grunter.
I'm not even going to stop. This is episode 214 of Touchline Rant Podcast. what a way to start an episode. Tonight, as you will now know, I am joined by Cassie.
Hello. Hello. Sorry, mum.
And Dan, how are you?
Hello, mate.
I don't know where this is going to end up. I hope it's going to end up somewhere special.
It always does.
Yeah. I'm going to start with some good news that everyone in this podcast will love. Liverpool lost the Champions League final.
Get in.
Hooray!
To Real Madrid. What a glorious game. And top bus parade the next day. Do you know what I mean? Well done. It's Real Madrid on the way to the final. Beat the French champions. They beat, you know, the English champions. And they beat the Carabao Cup winners.
I feel kind of scared taking the piss because it's way more than Spurs have won in far too long,
they brought it on themselves.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how shit your team is, they've brought this on themselves. They had a trophy parade because they thought they were gonna have four trophies with winners on the side the day after they lost the final.
They booked Calvin Harris.
Oh my god, how did you see the clip? How bleak was that? Him pressing play on a CD whilst they're picking up the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup. He's like, I was promised the Champions League. Pathetic.
They're going to a goldsmiths on Monday to melt down the Carabao Cup just to pay Calvin Harris for that.
Fair, listen, credit where credit's due. Fair play to Liverpool fans for kind of standing by it and crowding the streets.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You can't separate it.
Yeah.
When I was watching the final, when they said, I was watching the build-up to it, and at one point, and it shouldn't do, but they said, we'll let you hear this. And they played them singing, You'll Never Walk Alone. And when you take out any bias and just look at it as something, fan interaction, that song in a packed stadium with everyone singing is a wonderful thing to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
We're not, the Liverpool fans, fair play. They turned up. We knew they would. Even if they had won nothing and they had this parade just in case and the fans went, no, we still want it. They'd still turn up in those numbers and celebrate their team, and fair play to them. But, oh God, it's funny, especially when you see the airport covers. Like, you've seen the stairs that lead up to the plane where it had seven.
Oh dear.
God, so
someone passed them out the back because they were like, they don't see them anymore. Oh, but someone managed to take a picture because they're by railings.
It's actually making me sweat how embarrassing it is.
I mean, no shame from Liverpool. Like, they had to do the tour. They had to do the bus tour, didn't they? They had to. They can't go, you know what? We're not happy with this. Even though we've been going on about being the best team in Europe, being the best team in the world.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do it with the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup. I mean, and the players are going to smile like they're enjoying it. That's how it felt. Like, the players...
Yeah.
Like, what's going through that player's head? Like, we're doing a what? What? The day after the champ... All right. Okay. Fair enough.
You can just imagine the explanation, can't you? Like, yeah, but we put a non-refundable deposit down on the head, so, you know, the flares are ready to go. We kind of have to do this now, guys.
Like Steve, the bus driver in the corner, looking like depressed that he may not get his trip.
Or the guys who wrapped the bus. So the guys who wrapped a massive double-decker with, like, winners, all this red bus, they're watching the final going, oh, come on.
Yeah.
24 hours, that took me. That's what's happening. Nobody thinks about those people.
This is when it happens, though. You think about it, and you just think there genuinely would have been someone texting someone else saying, does this mean I'm not getting my overtime tomorrow now?
I am still being paid, right? I am I am still being paid.
What? Am I going in?
Just
you can just imagine Courtois sat at home watching that on the telly going, you silly bastard. With his medal on, a beer in the other hand.
I love it so much. I shouldn't, but as a Man United fan, I've got literally nothing. Nothing.
My favourite thing this season, two favourite things this season. One, that little boy crying. Don't care how old he was. don't care how old he was. Hook that straight into my veins. Thank you very much. Number two is them going on a pathetic bus journey for two cups. Like you've got, oh, well done, you've won the double. Oh, so you've won the league and you've won. No. We've won two competitions. Oh, the Champions League and no. We've won the FA Cup, which, you know, still carries a bit of nobody really cares, and the cup that's had more sponsors than anything else.
I was just going to say, that cup that no one ever remembers the proper name?
Yeah. Whichever era you came into football, that is what you call it. That's what the cup should be called. For me, Carling Cup, or even Coca-Cola Cup. Yeah.
Carling Cup.
Like, Carabao. Nobody knew what Carabao was before they put the name to the trophy.
I just don't know what Carabao is.
No one knows what it means now.
I'll tell you what, though. Liverpool fans probably think it's the best thing since sliced bread. Fucking better than Red Bull, mate. It's fucking better than Red Bull. That's what's happening. The streets of Liverpool are just covered in bloody hot energy drink. That's what's happening.
Red confetti and Carabao.
Yeah, red confetti.
What I love is the idea, again, of some boss just being like, someone made the decision to wrap the bus early. Someone made
that. Yeah.
Lads, we've got this. Let's do it.
Someone somewhere went, listen, I will happily wrap the bus from midnight, have it ready by 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how long a bus takes to wrap. It won't be a shock to anyone. I've never done one. But
sorry to any bus wrappers out there who we've just
let's say 6 hours. I mean, essentially, it's just putting a lot of fancy sellotape on an object. So, you know.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. There goes the bus enthusiast.
So let's say you had about six. Someone somewhere was like, I can do that. And someone else went, I'm not paying him that many hours. No. How much do you want? He wants triple pay? Nah, we'll do it early. Get it out the way. Save some money.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if they had multiple buses just in case. So there's about six other buses in Liverpool were just like the Champions League outline on there. And
that's a good point.
Because surely like the turnaround time, you can't have just like they quite, or they think, sorry, and they went, well we're definitely going to win. That'll be fine.
I wonder if you can rent them on the cheap.
Rentanopentopbus.com. Maybe when we reach like a milestone for this podcast, we'll just go to all of our cities. That's what will happen.
We'll hire the Liverpool quadruple bus. This is
what we should do for episode 300. We'll record it in the day. Like, you know, really early doors, but we'll all do it on an open top bus tour of the city that we live in.
You're really overstating what Stoke-on-Trent is, my friend. not many open top buses here in Stoke, I'll be honest.
It's a health and safety hazard in Stoke, isn't it? Open top vehicles.
To be fair, anything with wheels. They've even taken the roof off that one. That's what would happen.
Okay, I want you to get on then and say, all right, drive. Can I have an all-day pass and just sit on that bus, my friend?
I'll just sit on a normal double decker, just applauding people as I go past.
Has to be at the top, yeah.
Yeah, and
we'll do it. There you go, 300.
I'll play Calvin Harris music on my phone just so I can feel involved.
Strangely, you know, you could, in theory, be a part of some open top tour celebrations.
You could be.
Yeah, didn't think about that. Yeah, I could be. I take everything I've said back in the past 20 minutes. I'll take everything back.
The lads rap in the Port Vale mini are going to be fuming with you.
Yeah, spelling mistakes galore. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, someone's going to have a word and be like, I didn't wrap the bus early and it cost a lot of money.
Yeah. Take out Dan. Yeah, Dan knew about this. He's speaking about it on a podcast.
Yeah. So in the first of the ATR playoff finals of the weekend, was the mighty Port Vale.
That's his promotion,
gaining promotion through the playoffs. What was the atmosphere like, Dan?
It is. Now, I have to preface this by saying, apart from the birth of my child, the greatest day of my life. Like, it is the weirdest experience seeing this thing that you go to as a football fan, sit in the stands, you watch it on telly, to then be going anywhere you want because you've got an access all areas pass around you. For me personally, I was like, this is ridiculous. But yeah, it was good. Like, to be involved in anything like that, like any final, I imagine, like for the excitement from my point of view, I can't even begin to imagine what it was like for the players. Because like you see the arch, like you're driving in, you go, holy shit, this is real. The amount of times I just randomly shouted Wembley at the lads who I work with, just go Wembley, just as like Tourette's. Yeah, it was good. And then like the fans like just were completely up for it and completely back to the team, and to be pitch side and feel that when they're kind of like cheering and you kind of, you're there, you're amongst it, you're staring at it. It's such a, there's a picture of me that somebody I work with talking, I just got my head in my hands. And it just, like, the caption is just, you wouldn't know you got promoted. Like, it genuinely looks like we got relegated. So I'm just like, what is going on? Like, it's the weirdest out-of-body experience I have.
It must be very strict. And also, I imagine, what was the attendance in the end?
So how many? 36,000, I think it was. So
nice.
During the, you know, cost of living crisis that we're living in, a local lower tier football two lower tier football clubs to travel in those numbers.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Travel with like hardly any like trains back. So
yeah.
Like the trains were absolutely on its arse on that Saturday.
If someone said to me, you're gonna go to London and travel back in the evening from Wembley, I'd be like, nah, I don't fancy that. And I live on a main train line.
Yeah.
It was really good. So our average attendance at Vale is about 7,500 to 8,000, or maybe a bit more. So to have 15,000 Vale fans kind of singing and cheering and like backing like sometimes you can go into a final, sometimes you get teams where as fans you kind of, your nervousness goes across and you can feel that and you can hear that and it makes a weird atmosphere. Whereas this was completely, everyone backed it. It's the most bizarre experience. Like it was incredible. And to be fair, like we said at the time, like Mansfield 2 goals down, their fans did exactly the same. So they created an atmosphere and they were backing the lads because they knew like it's not every day, you know, Mansfield Town and Port Vale on the pitch at Wembley. It's a weird concept to kind of like, it's probably once a year, twice if you get into like the Papa John's Trophy kind of final and stuff, but like it's such a weird experience to be a part. It's the busiest I've ever been in my life.
I can't even imagine.
Quite literally, Luke, you can't even imagine. Yeah. Being a Manchester United fan.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was good to actually feel the football season with success. As a United fan, I'm like, oh my God, this is what I remember what this was like. This is great.
Manchester United are a club, not to talk about that shower of shite, this is a club that have got nothing to celebrate, have finished really low. They couldn't even get a day trip to Prague, right? By having the decency of finishing seventh, so that then we could be like, right, let's get to the final of the Conference League and we'll all have a long weekend in Prague. Yeah? How does that sound? They couldn't even get that right. Now, the one bright spot on the club, which was Ranić actually taking up a technical director's job, that's not even happening anymore.
Yeah, we really know how to mess things up at United, don't we?
Yeah.
It's literally like building a house and getting the bricky to do the electrics because the electrician couldn't turn up for 6 months. And then when the electrician turns up, telling the bricky, nah, you're fine, because he can do the bricks and all, so ta-ra. Yeah, but he's a bricklayer. So why did they employ a consultant to be a manager if they weren't going to make him a consultant?
This is the whole thing with United. It's like, everybody's gone, oh, this seems to be progressive. This seems to be a system. This seems to be they know they've got the shit together.
Mm.
And then when you get a manager in, then the person that was brought in to kind of guide this guy and go, oh, I've worked with this shower of shit. I know who you need to keep and who you need to get rid of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to get rid of him. He's gone. Yeah.
It's like in Luke's analogy, like, not only is the electrician actually a bricky, but he's used spaghetti as wiring. Like, nothing's working at this just point.
What? Someone's, you can move in now. Like, Ten Hag has bought this house, basically. Ten Hag has bought this house. He's gone in. He's got to turn the light on. He's gone, there's just bolognese sauce coming out. Sure, it's not meant to do that, is it? It's ridiculous. It is woefully depressing.
Should we brighten your day up a little bit and talk about Forest instead?
Yes. Yes. We can talk about, because what's weird is that I've always loved Nottingham Forest because I'm a huge fan of Brian Clough. Mm. This is way before I even knew Mitch. So then I knew Mitch and he was a Forest fan. And I was like, oh my God, I never get to speak to another Forest fan, usually. Like, I want to speak to a Forest fan, a real life one. He sat when he was a kid. I don't think he's mentioned this on a podcast, but he sat at a table because his nan had won a competition with Brian Clough.
No way.
And Mitch is like a little kid. It was like Clough's final season. So he sat there with like him, Steve Stone, you know, Martin O'Neill.
That's wicked.
These sort of plays. So yeah, I love Nottingham Forest. The fact they're back in the Premier League, it just feels right, doesn't it?
It feels huge, right.
They've won 2 years. This is a club that won. They got promoted to the top tier, won the top tier, then won the European Cup, then won the European Cup again.
Yeah.
That's Brentford. Well, that's Forest this year. Forest could come up. They have to win the Premier League. Now, that's the benchmark they've previously set.
That turnaround as well, just unbelievable. Like, from relegation to you're in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane. Like, absolutely, no one would have put money on that at the start of this season. Like, no, absolutely potty.
And the manager being backed as well. Like,
yeah,
especially
they all stuck behind him, didn't
especially
they?
Especially at that level where kind of cut and paste from another club's kind of hierarchy just seems to happen. Yeah, we'll have him for a bit. If nothing's going your way. And to completely back him. And you can see just how much, like, in the celebration and how he was with the players, like, you can see just how much it meant to him. Like, I think the enormity and the kind of the road that he's been on, I think that was at that point, he was like, oh shit, yeah, but yeah, that's happened. Like, how is it here? And I think they went to him in the dressing room and he was like, remember that meeting. It's all about your family. Go and enjoy it with them because they've backed you. And I think that was kind of almost reflective onto himself of going, listen, you're like, everybody's backed you. Like, go and enjoy it. Be a part of it.
Sure. You can tell they're playing like they enjoy it. I just hope, you know, it's going to be a tough season in the Premier League. Really tough. And the way, you know, at the moment, like, Spurs are trying to pull for off of their players.
Exactly.
But
this is the problem now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not only is it going to be difficult for them, but it's going to be difficult to hold that squad together.
But if he has instilled this kind of sense of, like, you know, look, we're all in this together, we're a family, let's, like, do this, does that kind of make the players think, do you know what, I'm in the Premier League anyway, let's give it a season, let's see how it goes? Because those offers from big clubs aren't going away for the likes of, you know, Jed Spence and people like that. They're not going to go away. They're not. If he continues playing at the space he is. So I think it's an interesting one. I think the managers, they do a lot these days, don't they? Managers like that.
I think you hit the nail kind of like about the pressure being off. I think the best teams, when they've been away for so long from the Premier League, when the pressure is off and they go, right, we're going to enjoy it. Like, when Leeds first came up, Like, they were playing some decent.
It was
Christ. Like, this is what we've been missing, and obviously, like, this season, it's dropped off because it will, because people, like, you are the kind of, you are the unknown, as much as you know, kind of analyst teams and everything else are like, bam, 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 we know all of this. You can't plan for everything when you come up against the team.
No. Like, sides is the fact that those players are going to be up for it more than they were the season 100%. Before.
Oh, yeah.
It's what makes the FA Cup so amazing. Like, that's why the FA Cup is so special, because you do see these little teams, I should say little teams, lower league teams, that come in and smash Man City's, Spurs, Man United, like nothing, because they just
God bless you for putting United in there as a scalp. That's at least we've got some.
I thought we were just listing the lower league teams. I was like,
if you came in,
nice. I keep bullying him about United.
Just put four past United.
I still hate Grimsby Town for beating us 15 years ago, knocking us out of the FA Cup. Like, I still will never do that.
Speaking as someone who supports a club that is predominantly, you know, and is not involved or, you know, employed by a lower league club, speaking as one of those people, when a lower league side beats you in the FA Cup, it's almost like you look at them and go, how dare you?
Yeah. Who do you think you are?
You little shit. Fuck off. Do you know what
I mean? So Vale came up against Brentford this season in the third round of the FA Cup. And so Brentford came to Vale. And instantly, I think the final score, I think it was 4-1, 3-1, 4-1. Either way, like, Brentford obviously proved their skill. But, like, the atmosphere that brings, like, players are not going to be used to kind of, like, it's so different from going, oh, you're really kind of in a bubble in the Premier League. And, like, seeing how a League 2 team. So, like, Brentford turned up with chefs and had, like, a full-on, like kitchen set up outside the dressing room, and you just go like, how much in a bubble are you? Like, this isn't real. Like, you kind of see our players are all just like, you can see them walking around our town centre and they'll go drink in the pubs and stuff like that, or go out with the mates and they'll enjoy the life. And you kind of go, well, how much do you genuinely enjoy football now? Because when you go to that level, you go, well, it's now a job. Like, you've got to protect yourself, because if you're injured, you could fall down the pecking order. You'll lose your team. You lose your money. You know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Like, your lower league teams, they genuinely play. I think they play like they would do in a park. Like, they enjoy it. Like, the wages aren't mega bucks. You play it because you enjoy playing football. You're good at it. You can make a living. But,
and you can't measure things like that in stats. Like, you can't measure that way of playing in stats. You just can't do it.
So how is it when you look and you actually think, right, if you think FIFA career mode terms, you set it to the easiest setting, you go League 2, you are going to be like, right, okay, I'll play League 2, then League 1, then Championship, then I'll get Premier League. You know you're going to bounce up the leagues. Mm. So it's actually, when you think in that setting, it's not that far to go. It's just 4 years, really.
Yeah.
But the difference in that is actually from going from promoted into League 2 or being that bottom level League 2 to being winning the Premier League is impossible.
Yeah, especially if you add in the money side of it as well.
It's just getting...
That's where a lot of them...
It's just wider. You will get a success story and you will get a club that builds and gets to a certain level, but they have to sustain that success. Like someone like Stoke City. Stoke City were an established Premier League side. They've now dropped down. And because they had to stay at that level to be able to afford to be the club that they were, they're now struggling to get back to that level. You've seen it at Sunderland. You've seen it at Blackburn. You've seen it at these clubs.
We've seen it at Leeds as like a really good example. Because look at, you know, they were right up there and then all the money issues come in and that's it. And now they just come back up. How long has that taken? God, I was in primary school when that happened. Yeah. Maybe like, that's insane. But
it's a long
even further down. So like, you've got teams who like, we mentioned the FA Cup. Portsmouth are in League One, who were they had a very good squad in the Premier League. Like, they were a decent side. You've got Ipswich down there. You've got Charlton, who, like, again, when they were Premier League, you would never have imagined a time where they dropped.
No.
And yeah.
Bradford City. Bradford. I just remembered they existed.
Yeah. Bradford
had Benito Carbone playing for him.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Imagine it's telling that to someone who supports Bradford now, showing them a video of him and going, he used to play here. They're like, what? Nah. We laugh.
Yeah. Manchester United fans, get ready. League Two.
It's coming.
Stop, put away.
My grit, because sadly, I could be a granddad from now. So I could potentially, I won't be, but I could be. So I could potentially have great grandchildren in my lifetime who will not believe me that we once won the Champions League.
Luke, you can have grandchildren that wouldn't believe that.
My kids fucking sometimes don't believe it.
Exactly.
I'm sure the show of shit won anything.
And I've seen it.
To be fair, it's hard to believe myself sometimes.
It's like the Mandela effect. I'm like, did that happen? That can't have happened. Not this Manchester United. No.
Sometimes teams take that, like, they have this air of arrogance about them as well. Like, if they once were Premier League, or if they once were, you know, an established Championship side, and then they come down, and it's that kind of arrogance, or this kind of, we deserve to be there because we did it 15 years ago. Come on, mate. That's not an issue at all. It's a weird, like, football has a weird way of working sometimes, where when the stars align, if the story's good enough and stuff like that, you kind of go, oh, this team really deserve this. And sometimes look at Derby. Derby are there because of, you know, they chucked everything to go into the Premier League. Everything. And because they missed out, they are now in League One because they got absolutely knackered for they got points docked because they couldn't control it. They expected to go up. They had this.
Waiting for this to come out, like, literally.
Like, that's,
I can see you brewing.
That's one of the examples of Derby. Were one of them teams for some time where, you know, they'd have like a few seasons in the Premier League and go down, and then come back up and go down. And it's that arrogance of we belong. And I think there's a lot of teams like that, especially in the Championship, where it's this kind of secondary club of, well, we were once there, so we have still got to act like this. And you know, like, just remember, like, tell your players to remember why they play, not because you once were. Like, players aren't going to Millwall and going, well, I remember those days. They're going to Millwall because it fits into where they want to be.
Yeah.
Because they, whether it's financially, whether it's because they want to play in London, whether it's because, you know, Millwall genuinely could turn it around and be a contender. Like, it's a weird arrogance. And I think, I don't know, it's probably one of the worst things with football is when teams have that kind of arrogance. And you're like, listen, we mentioned United a lot on this podcast, and that's what's happening with United, is we've got this arrogance because we've won, especially in my lifetime, I've seen the team win everything that they've been in. And it's this arrogance of, well, we deserve it. It's our trophy. We've got to get it back. And, well, currently, we're not good enough.
Exactly. It's only our trophy for this particular. I still am young enough to think that the Premier League is ours because we've won it so many damn times. Do you know what I mean? It's like, Liverpool have won, and everyone's raving about it. We've won more Premier League titles. I've seen my team win more Premier League titles than Arsenal have won league titles. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's
I'm glad you said Arsenal.
Yeah, well, this is in their entire history. I've seen this just one particular trophy. It's just it's unbelievable. So I can't complain too much, but still, actually,
it's shit.
You're gonna.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to, because it's just awful at the minute. I can't keep coming back to United. Do you know what, something else that we should touch upon? Is the international games that are coming up. They are, speaking as a Welsh male, I don't think I've ever been this excited to just a couple of international games, ever. I cannot remember being this excited. And I suppose this is because this is, we should, Poland in the Nations League is a tough game. It's a tough game, and it's a big game for us because it's away and it's a big game. No one cares.
sorry about that classical background. What happens here?
It's unbelievable that sort of game on, as Wales, like we're such a tiny little football nation.
Mm.
Who's just got, to be honest, I look at this as a small footballing nation that's just got an attitude that people, do you know what I mean? And I think that's it.
I think this actually follows on so nicely from what we're just talking about, because Wales literally epitomise that we don't, not they don't think they deserve it, because I think in a way a lot of Welsh fans are like, we deserve it because the effort we put in.
Mm.
But it's not like every single game that's played, friendly, whether it means nothing, whether it means everything, the exact same support goes in, the exact same work ethic goes in.
Mm.
And that, for me, is what makes them deserve a place in that World Cup. Like, just it's unbelievable. Like, as an England fan, living in Cardiff, seeing even the worst of friendlies, that I've got to be honest, if it was England, I'm not interested. If I might follow it on BBC Sport, I might not. I might check the score a bit later on. Town is packed every time. I basically have to fight off people in bucket hats. Like, it's chaos.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I love it.
We go out in force. When it's internationals, we go out. It's the city. It's got its colours out. And it's it's rammed. And this is an international city, Cardiff. You know, it's the capital city of Wales. It's a big city. And it's a developing city as well. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Football's on, even the rugby's on. It doesn't matter if we're on.
Yeah, everyone's out. That's what I love the most about Cardiff. It truly is like Wales are playing. What sport doesn't fucking matter? Do you want to?
Yeah.
Like Sunday will be carnage. Half the people won't know who's playing, but it doesn't matter because everyone's on the pint.
People will be there that have never watched a second of football before, but they're just like, yeah, but it's Wales.
It's Wales. I think I said this before, is like I'm genuinely jealous of that because I know England are playing on Saturday.
Mm.
I genuinely, and I hand on what I'm saying this, I don't know who they're playing.
Mate,
I just,
same. Like, I said that just then, I was like, are we playing on Saturday?
Yeah. So I know we're playing because I've been asked if the football club are showing it before the Robbie Williams gig. That's another thing. But like, I'm like, oh yeah, England are playing. Shit. Oh, what is it? Is it friendly? Is it not? I genuinely don't know. I didn't know there was any games this summer. What's going on?
We've got that aspect of arrogance, haven't we? Quite a lot, England fans. Like, we just go, oh, it's World Cup, we'll be there.
Yeah, we don't care about the bits in between.
No,
we don't care about those bits. But when there's a tournament, oh, we all love England. Until we lose, but we all love England. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's weird. Like, it genuinely so jealous of like Wales when it comes to stuff like that. It's just it's the opposite, isn't it? I think we spoke about arrogance. England have got an arrogance of we deserve the World Cup because, well, we gave it a bloody good go in 1966 and we want to shut up about it. Whereas like Wales, it's like, oh, well, we back the team. The players back the country. They want to play for the country. That's why we deserve it. I think you said that before. And that's a good kind of, it's not even an arrogance. It's just a self-belief of going, fucking, we should be off the back of us.
We belong in the history. You say that, you know, you celebrate, obviously, 1966 and the World Cup win. Wales fans, we celebrate 1958 because that's the year we qualified. That's that's exactly
that's
what we do.
That's the best example of all.
We Spirit 58 is literally because we once got to the World Cup.
Oh, I hope. I'm excited to see who you're going to come up against. I personally, I think it's going to be Ukraine. I think they've got too many strong players. And I just, is that aspect in there, that kind of, what do we all love in football? A bit of romance.
How do you think the Welsh will, if it is Ukraine, So standard Ukraine kind of support at the minute is, you know, everybody wants Ukraine to do well off the back of, you know, the fuckery that's happening, you know, in the country.
Can I just clarify, is that the political term?
I think that's the term that they have to go with now. So the fuckery that's going on there, like, how do you think Wales and the Welsh players will take being the kind of, like, not the favourite? Because I feel like Wales go into every kind of game and every, like, there's always people backing them. Like, there's never anybody going, ah, fuck Wales, nah, I don't want this. Like, how do you genuinely think that that's going to...
Do you know what worries me? My concern is had when we came at the Euros.
Yeah.
I knew we were going to go into that game and we were not going to be the favourites by a long distance. Like, we wouldn't be the favourites because of what's happened to Christian Eriksen at that tournament.
Yeah.
So it's... I'm worried about that. Fan. Because rightly, people want Ukraine to do well at everything. That'd be World Cup. You know, qualify. But I would quite like my country to be in a World Cup.
Yeah.
And but I you also don't want to be the bastards to knock Ukraine out, do you? So
no, that is
I think it's so close now though. They're like, they can smell it, you know. And I think that is gonna be, if they do come against Ukraine, because I'm kind of writing Scotland off, which you shouldn't, but if they do come up against Ukraine, I think if anyone's gonna do it, Wales will do it. And they will.
Yeah. Gareth Bale.
And I think they'd go into the tournament as favourites purely from the fan perspective, because I think everyone just gets behind him, everyone loves him, everyone wants to see the underdog win.
Yeah, and also bear in mind on the bench at Real Madrid for the Champions League final, which basically means he's matched. You know,
let's be honest, he was just tying up that final end of the season. What he wants is World Cup right now, isn't it? Like, I don't think he wants shit about anything else.
Gareth Bale gonna do one of three, in my opinion. He's gonna go to China finally, like he could have previously. He's gonna go back to Spurs. Or he's going to take a huge pay cut and he's going to sign for Cardiff City, which is what I want him to do, because I just genuinely believe that Gareth Bale will just be like, listen, brutally honest, I'm really close to the Celtic Manor. It's where I'm from. It's my home. I'm rich enough that I don't need to care. I'm famous enough and loved enough that I don't need to care. So I'm going to go to Cardiff City, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to train once a week. You're going to play me because I'm going to be world class, but I'm going to spend the rest of the time playing golf. Because all he wants to do is stay fit for Wales. It's all he wants.
So no, basically, like Ledley King used to be for Spurs, no training whatsoever. Just show up every other week because he's not fit to play every game. Absolutely smash it. Go home, have a swim, golf in Bale's case. That's it.
Has there ever been a player that's retired from club football but has gone, no, I still want to play for my country? I'm not playing club balls to that. I haven't played for the past 4 years, but I do want to play for the country.
If there hasn't been, Bale would be that player.
I think that surely that question's been asked.
Michael Owen at Newcastle was very similar.
Yeah.
I'm just trying.
He played for England basically for like 3 years. That's all he did. But if Wales was my country that I was playing for, if I was in the first team, I'd be like, yeah, damn right I'm doing that. I'm making sure that I'm staying for that.
It's quite a few players, actually. I mean, some of them are, just get a little stat in here because Steve's not here. Klinsmann retired from Spurs in 97, but played World Cup in 98. Pat Jennings, Northern Ireland. Retired year before and then played World Cup a year after. So who knows? Could happen.
Gareth Bale
in there as well.
Gareth Bale is etching his name onto that list as we speak.
It's a short list.
What, like a preemptive Champions League kind of etching of the trophy. He's gone, oh, that's a very exclusive list that I want to be a part of.
He's getting his bus wrapped. That's what's happening.
Yeah, the Gareth Bale bus tour with a very, very tiny dragon just to celebrate Gareth Bale. Oh, and the other lads that came to the World Cup as well. But Gareth Bale, that's what it's going to be. The massive... If you won, like let's just forget reality for a moment. If you won the World Cup, what are the odds of replacing the dragon with just a picture of Gareth Bale? Oof. You've got to make that happen.
I feel like Luke.
I vote if there's a referendum.
you'd become your own country. Gareth Bale would be your king. And you could call it Bales. Sorted.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they actually did win the World Cup? All of Wales would just cease to function.
It would be constantly pissed for the next 4 years.
Chippy Lane would just be a river of piss and curry sauce. Like, it would be chaos. It would become like the ninth wonder of the world, eighth wonder of the world.
People would be so pissed you wouldn't decide. You wouldn't be able to know if they're actually speaking Welsh or just incoherent. And that's what would happen. You just go, what's happening? I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
That's the same now, to be totally honest.
Yeah, no, to be fair, that is the same. That wraps this episode. I quite like the rotund nature of this. I quite think we've come full circle to the open top bus.
We've given no explanation to the beginning of this episode. I think it's literally us talking about grunting and sweating, so that's fun. We'll leave the fans wondering.
There's no need to even... I think people would know. Why wouldn't you?
I think they
Let's
would.
Let them guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swingers and roundabouts.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. Spot on.
I think that's the first time we've ever got through all the topics.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever have before. It's a miracle.
It's done that thing again where it's just carried on recording.
Not again.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
A touchline rant. This is a touchline rant. A touchline.